Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The path to an NFL championship starts in 32 unique locker rooms across the country.
I ain't blinking. Don't you blink. You blink, I'll cut your eyelids off.
But it ends at just one common ground, Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Hey, they said they were going to the Twin Cities.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Will a living legend stand atop the Super Bowl mountain yet again?
They have completed the greatest comeback in Super Bowl history.
Or will we crown a new icon as the confetti falls?
As the young maestro on his game today.
Only four schools will make it to their ultimate destination, the college football playoff.
I mean, it only matters where you end up at the end.
Who will be invited? Who will be left out?
I don't know whether heartbreak actually covers that.
Football's weekly drama is documented here. Sunday Morning Football with your host, D.A., only on CBS Sports Radio.
Touchdown!
And a happy Sunday morning to you, boys and girls. We come to you live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Thanks so much for being with us. Remember, you can watch the show, and it's mobile friendly. Check us out at watchda.com. That's the simulcast. So check it out every single Sunday morning today. We've got our Vegas virtuoso, Todd Furman, who will join us next hour to discuss today's NFL lines and NFL action. Coming up in about 30 minutes from now, Adam Zucker, the host of the SEC on CBS. After Georgia's impressive win, we'll ask him about what the playoff field is going to look like. He comes your way in about 35 minutes from now. And as always, we'll have your best play calls, play-by-play calls of the day with excessive celebration. That's coming your way at 20 minutes past this hour. You know the debate. Ohio State, Alabama, Alabama, Ohio State. We've got three teams we know will be in the college football playoff. Clemson winning the ACC, Georgia winning the SEC, Oklahoma winning the Big 12. It comes down to that fourth spot. Ohio State, Alabama, that's what the committee's going to have to decide by about 12:30 today, really even earlier because the TV show begins earlier than that. I know you guys want to weigh in, so get at me, 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227 or Twitter, DA on CBS. One of the most embarrassing moments in Giants football history, 100 years of football, will take place later on today. I'll describe and discuss. Georgia had the best win out of anybody yesterday. I'll describe and discuss. However, let's start with your Sunday gunslinger and who the four will be in when the playoff rankings come out.
In football's Wild West, there are winners and there are losers. He shoots from the hip. DA is the Sunday Gunslinger.
We need men like him to make towns safer, decent people.
When you have to shoot, shoot, don't talk.
Now jerk that pistol and go to work.
All right, let's do it.
When the playoff committee meets today, and of course they were discussing this all day yesterday as well, this will have to be about, do we want the four best teams in college football in, or do we want the three best TV shows? You see, the college football playoff is a made-for-TV event. They are transparent about this when they are bouncing around the idea of trying to change the culture of Americans in watching college football on New Year's Eve. They tried this thinking we will change the culture.
When they found out they couldn't, they met resistance. They said, well, we'll change that. But hey, let me remind you, New Year's Day, get around the TV with the family. They can't stop showing those commercials right now. They have our ranking TV event Tuesdays throughout the late fall. They know what they're doing to create buzz and to create television ratings. These are three mini TV shows to them. It's a series, two semifinals, and a championship game with a couple of light trailers, if you will, every Tuesday throughout the football season. If you want the TV show, you could probably argue Ohio State, because then it gives us four different parts of the country watching their conference or their school. Clemson in the Southeast, Georgia as well, but in the SEC. Oklahoma in the Southwest, and then the Midwest being represented by Ohio State. You see, from a TV standpoint, you could argue, oh, you don't want two SEC teams in there, and then three from the Southeast, Alabama, Georgia, Clemson, too much overlap there. We need to make these TV shows interesting. And Ohio State brings the Big Ten, and it brings Chicago and Indianapolis and Milwaukee and all these big Minneapolis, all these big upper Midwest cities, Cleveland, Cincinnati. We get those television markets. We want that. But that's not the best four teams. Sorry, Buckeye fans, you are not one of the four best teams in America. You can argue all you want till you're blue in the face about winning the Big Ten championship, about another top four victory. Urban Meyer can yap, yap, yap all he wants and politic his way in. You're not one of the four best teams in the country. Alabama is. Game, set, match. And if you want the four best teams in the country, Alabama's got to be in at number four. Because if you put Alabama and Ohio State on a neutral field, Alabama would be favored and favored heavily. Everybody knows they're a better football team than Ohio State. Ohio State has flaws. Alabama might not have a great resume because the SEC West was down, because their crossover game's not very good. They didn't play Georgia this year. Their non-conference schedule, Florida State, fell apart after the injury to DeAndre Francois. But the fact of the matter is, if you want the four best teams in America, you can't put the four best teams in America together without having Alabama in there. My field would be Clemson 1, Georgia 2, Oklahoma 3, Alabama 4. And guess what? That gives you good, pretty good TV as well, because Clemson, Alabama, number 3, almost like Warriors-Cavs part 3, would be a semifinal. Not too shabby. Georgia's win is the most impressive of the day.
Move Godwin in motion from left to right, out of the shotgun. Give it to Fromm. He's going to hand it off to Swift. Swift's got running room. Swift by the defense. 40, 30. They won't catch him. Go, Swift, into the end zone. Touchdown. The freshman just ran it back to Philadelphia.
That's Georgia Bulldogs radio network on the play, on the call. And look at what Kirby Smart was able to do in Athens. He took a program that kept hitting its head on the ceiling every year, couldn't get through to the SEC championship. When it did, couldn't get through the powers of the SEC West. Georgia always felt like they were one stub of the toe away from really being their best selves. Kirby Smart made them their best selves. This is just year two. Georgia is building a powerhouse. This is a look into the future of the SEC. Georgia's here, boys and girls. Georgia has one of the best recruiting bases in the country. Georgia has deep pockets. Georgia has a rabid fan base. And Georgia has the side of the SEC you want to be on. Florida could come back now. Dan Mullen over there in Gainesville. But Tennessee obviously is way down. Missouri, Kentucky, Vanderbilt. Look, you want to be in the SEC East. They are going to be in that SEC title game a whole hell of a lot over the next decade. And look at what they did. They beat Auburn at their own game. This was the mirror opposite of what happened a couple of weeks ago on the Plains, where Auburn strikes first yesterday, and then Georgia squeezes the life out of the Tigers. The defense of Georgia is smothering. They create a couple of turnovers. Look what they did holding Auburn's rushing attack. Kerryon Johnson obviously banged up, only 44 yards. And Georgia pounded the rock. DeAndre Swift, Nick Chubb, Sony Michel, they go for more than 230 yards on the ground. Sledgehammer after sledgehammer for the Georgia Bulldogs yesterday. Very impressive out of all of the championship games. And in the NFL later on today, when Geno Smith takes the snap to start for the Giants, it will be one of the lowest moments, if not the lowest moment, in Giants franchise history.
It's been a hard day to handle this, but you know, hang in there and figure it out.
Hardest day as a Giant, you would say?
It's up there, yeah.
Do you feel like you might have started your last game for the Giants?
I don't know. I don't know. I'll take one week at a time.
Last one, guys.
Have you spoken to anyone besides Ben about the decision, Jerry or John or anyone like that?
I spoke with Jerry Reese a little bit, and Mr. Mara had, you know, he hadn't been in today, and but you know, he knows what's going on, and we'll probably try to speak with him tomorrow sometime.
Eli Manning earlier this week, here's how the Giants botched this whole thing. You want to turn the page from Eli Manning to assess what you have in Davis Webb, the rookie? I get that. Eli Manning is aging. You're going to have a top five draft pick. You just spent a third rounder on a quarterback last year that you assumed could be the heir apparent to Eli Manning with some seasoning. You want to see the kid. I get it. Season's over. So what you do is on Tuesday, you hold a press conference and you bring out two Super Bowl Vince Lombardi trophies, and John Mara, the owner, and Jerry Reese, the GM, and Ben McAdoo, the bozo head coach, all stand up there at the podium, and they point to those Vince Lombardi trophies and say, these are because of Eli Manning. We would not be here without Eli Manning. We don't have these rings without Eli Manning, and it pains us to make this decision, but Eli is a great soldier. He's a great Giant, and he understands our problem right here. We don't want to do this, but we need to see about the kid. And you honor Eli and you fly in a couple of the guys that won a Super Bowl with him and are desperately loyal to Eli. And you give him his send-off, his day, his moment, and say, it's unfortunate, but here's what we have to do. And then Eli takes the podium, answers a few questions. He has the dignity and the grace of that's how it's going to go down. But instead, the Giants ham-handedly handled this week to give Eli no respect. They make Eli, as John Mara hides, didn't know, didn't want to know, wasn't in town. Jerry Reese hides. What a disgrace. Ben McAdoo announces this at his press conference for the week, and everyone's like, wait, what? And let's run over to go talk to Eli Manning, as Eli Manning has to answer questions at his locker to explain the situation, as the rest of the guys in that locker room are whooping it up on a random day during the week. Now, number one, you're 2-9. Your season is over. I don't know why JPP or any of the Giants players should be whooping it up during the week. You should be miserable. But then you make Eli Manning answer questions about his legacy at his locker, like he's a third-string linebacker, like he's a special teams buffoon. Give me a break. They botched that so bad. So bad. And when Geno Smith takes snaps later on today, that's one of the lowest moments in franchise history, because there's no reason Geno Smith should start. You want to see what you got in Davis Webb? I get it. You need to see what you have in Geno Smith? Give me a break. Give me a break. It is indicative of a poisoned franchise that once upon a time was one of the most respected in the league. I don't think you can say that anymore with how they just treated Eli Manning and handled this situation this week. It makes no sense. 855-212-4CBS. Twitter, DA on CBS. Muhammad's in Alabama listening to CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Mo?
Hey, what's up, DA?
How you doing, baby?
I'm good. I just wanted to talk about Alabama.
Yes,
chances,
sir,
of getting the committee only has a few things they can say about Ohio State being over Alabama, and that's strength of schedule, and that's that they have a conference championship. But last year, if you remember, Ohio State lost to a team that won their conference championship. Ohio State still got in. So that's out of the mix right now. Next thing is strength of schedule. Alabama was a top 1 to 2 team this whole season. And every team that plays Alabama says the same thing. We want Bama, we want Bama, we want Bama. So when you say strength of schedule, you're talking about a team that has to play everybody's toughest, everybody's hardest, everybody's best games of the year because they want to beat Alabama, so they save their season. But Alabama stayed undefeated all the way to the end of the year when they lost to their rival in their home. And you're going to tell me that Ohio State, who lost to Oklahoma in Ohio State and Iowa by maybe 30-something points and 50 points total, your two losses, you lost by 50-something points.
Mo, if this was a pair of one-loss teams, we were debating Ohio State versus Alabama. And Ohio State's only loss was to Oklahoma at home. And Alabama's only loss was to Auburn on the road. Ohio State Buckeyes fans would have a better argument. You could absolutely make the argument, hey, we got a couple of one-loss teams. They both have good one losses. Yes, we lost ours at home, but we lost to a team that's in the college football playoff. We have won our conference. We belong in over Alabama, and I would probably agree. But you can't ignore that Iowa loss. Can't ignore it. Can't ignore it. Both these teams have one quality loss, but one of them has a dreadful debacle blowout loss against an unranked Iowa team by 30 points. Can't ignore it. Alabama's the better football team, and they belong in. 855-212-4CBS. Twitter, DA on CBS. I'll keep taking your phone calls on Bama versus Ohio State. Anything you got from the college football playoff and what you saw yesterday. Anything you got on the NFL. It's Sunday morning football, and when we come back, the best play-by-play calls from yesterday's college football conference championship action, including a dandy in double overtime in the American. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
NFL action begins next Sunday with the NFL Today, followed by a full slate of regional games. You'll say, you saw it on CBS Sports.
It's Sunday Morning Football with DA.
There's always a vintage tinge to Sunday Morning Football here on CBS Sports Radio. Glad you're with us. Damon Amendolara with you. If you're watching at watchda.com right now, that's mobile friendly on your phone. You're checking out a couple of brand new vintage pennants in the house joining the collection this week. Baltimore's Colts and the old L.A. Rams from the 70s. You can check out the visuals of the Sunday Morning Football Studios at watchda.com on your phone, on your laptop, or on your smart TV. We'll get to your best play-by-play calls of the college football weekend coming up here. Also, Adam Zucker from CBS, the SEC on CBS, will join us, having anchored the coverage of the SEC title game. Brett's in Ohio listening on CBS Sports Radio. What's going on, Brett? Brett, you there, buddy? All right. Kenny's in Mississippi listening to CBS Sports Radio. Check that. It's going to be Greg in Manitoba, in Winnipeg. What's going on, Greg?
Hey, thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure.
Caller overall to a CBS Sports Radio neck of a show here.
Well, thank you for making the call, man. What's going on?
Nothing much. Everybody's saying embarrassing losses here, okay? But I will say, full disclosure, I'm a Notre Dame and Oklahoma fan, okay? And I'm getting very, very perturbed by a lot of people saying Clemson's number one, Clemson's number one, Clemson's number one here. But if I was a committee member, I will say Clemson's embarrassing loss, which was probably the line, I could be wrong with the line spread here, but Clemson lost to a 2.5 to 3 touchdown underdog by the name of Syracuse Orange in upstate New York.
That's right, Greg. It was a really bad loss for Clemson, and you can't ignore it. However, remember this is a bit of a caveat. They lost their starting quarterback in the first half to a concussion. Kelly Bryant went down with a concussion in that first half. Who knows? I mean, Syracuse might end up pulling the upset anyway, even if Bryant stayed in there. But they were in their backup quarterback situation in the second half of that game. They just had a terrible day. Syracuse threw the football, ran the football, created turnovers, created big plays, and shocked them. I'm certainly not going to sit here and tell you that that was a good loss. It is not. Syracuse was a 4-8 team and got blown out at the end of the season by everybody that they played. But if you look at everything that happened yesterday and over the last 2 months of the year, Clemson's the best football team in America. They are. They have the best defense going right now, although Georgia has a very strong argument there. But they are the most well-rounded team, Clemson. And they have destroyed everybody since that game, basically. And if you watched yesterday against a good Miami team that I know lost to Pitt, but a good Miami team, look, Clemson's the best team in America. The way that they're playing right now, defending national champions, I don't care if they don't have Deshaun Watson, that is a great football team and obviously belongs in the playoff. Let's get to your excessive celebration.
The soundtrack of college football chaos. The announcers losing their minds.
At the goal line, I think he caught it for a touchdown. He got it! He got it! He got it! Touchdown, Nick Matthews! The Cougars win it! The Cougars win it!
Here's the best of the weekend. It's excessive celebration.
They're not going to keep him off the field tonight. Holy cow!
Yesterday in Dallas, Big 12 championship game, Oklahoma-TCU. This is the Horned Frogs' first offensive play.
TCU's first snap of the Big 12 championship. Sooners showing blitz. Hill's got it. Handoff Hicks. Running left. He is cut off and swarmed under the backfield. Ball's loose. And it's picked up. It's scooped. Caleb Kelly's got it. And it's a touchdown. It's a scoop and score. It's a touchdown. Oh, mama.
Toby Rowland, Learfield. Oh, Oklahoma Sooner Sports Network. So thanks for showing up, TCU. I'm glad they made it a bit of a game of the first half, but man, of the second half, TCU had no answers for Oklahoma's offense. And we get to see Baker Mayfield, the best offense in America, going into the college football playoff. I don't think they'll be able to stop whoever they play. They'll have to score 50 points in that game. But TCU, you just knew they stood no chance of winning that football game. They're not on the same level as Oklahoma. Sun Belt Championship game, Troy versus Arkansas State. The Troy Trojans, who knocked off LSU in Death Valley this year, trail 25-24. They trail by a point with 21 seconds remaining. They're looking for the touchdown to win.
Second down and 5 from the 14-yard line. 21 seconds to go. Troy does not have a timeout. Sean is with Silvers. Ready to throw. Goes to the end zone. Looks for his man.
Hits it! He got it! Touchdown! Men of Troy! God bless you, DeAndre Douglas!
Perry McKnight, Jerry Miller on the Troy Trojans Radio Network. And finally, in the American Athletic Championship game, Memphis Central Florida. Look at this score. 62-55 in double overtime. UCF had scored, Memphis looking to try to answer it in double OT.
Second and goal tonight. Ferguson drops, pumps, throws, pass is
intercepted! It's over! UCF win! It's over! Trey Neal picks it off!
Mark Daniels on the UCF Radio Network. A crazy game. Ended up being the best game of the day in the American. UCF wins 62-55, and Scott Frost takes the Nebraska job. That's a huge win by Nebraska, landing their former star and getting him out of UCF because there was a lot of suitors. It'll be good to see Nebraska if Scott Frost can turn it in a different direction, being better, being a top 25 team, being a contender, because it's kind of depressing when Nebraska's really bad. So that's a huge win for them. But Scott Frost with the crocodile tears. All these coaches are all bent out of shape when you actually ask them about leaving. Well, you guys are orchestrating your departure, so what do you expect? People not to ask the question? And that is your excessive celebration. We'll jump back into your phone calls on the debate that is raging right now. Ohio State or Alabama? Give me Alabama in my top four, in my final four, in my playoff four. We'll ask Adam Zucker what he thinks. host of the SEC on CBS, as he was anchoring coverage in Atlanta yesterday. We'll talk to him. Jump back into your phone calls next. DA, Sunday Morning Football, CBS Sports Radio.
You have a reservation for year-round excitement with CBS Sports. Your ticket to action.
It's Sunday Morning Football with DA.
41 minutes past the hour. Appreciate you being with us. Sunday Morning Football, DA with you each and every Sunday beginning at 9 a.m. Eastern Time. You can watch the show by going to watchda.com. That's mobile friendly. Check it out, the simulcast on your phone, on your tablet, on your computer, or on your smart TV. Also, listen to us using any one of the apps, the CBS Sports app, the TuneIn app, the radio.com app, or Apple Music. And the debate wages is being waged right now as we've got Alabama and Ohio State vying for that final slot of the college football playoff. JMH tweets, I could put Auburn in before Ohio State. They're 1-1 against the number one team in America. OSU, no way. Actually, Auburn beat the number one team in America twice. Georgia and then Alabama. Paul tweets, what if they put in a two-loss OSU team and not a two-loss USC team? Both are conference champions. This has to be Alabama football in the college football playoff. You can tweet at me, DA on CBS, or call me up at 855-212-4CBS. Adam Zucker is the host of the SEC on CBS. He was in Atlanta at Mercedes-Benz Stadium with the rest of the crew watching Georgia's impressive thumping of Auburn yesterday. And he joins us here on Sunday Morning Football. Adam, good morning.
DA, good to have you. Good to have a little bit of my voice left after yesterday, man. That place is amazing, and it is extremely loud. And it got a little quieter down the stretch, yeah, but, you know, it was like a national holiday yesterday because of everything you're talking about and everything people are tweeting about and calling you about. It's you know, whether it goes to six teams or eight teams eventually, I don't know. But with four teams the way it is right now, everybody's watching everything and everybody's talking about them all.
Give me a thumbnail on that stadium. Just on TV, it looks amazing. What is it like inside?
So we sit down for a rehearsal on Friday. Rick and I turn around and look at the roof, and I've seen like half of one of the Hunger Games, but it looks like you're about to get sucked up into this transport mechanism. I mean, I would love to see it in action when they open the roof and whatnot. I know they had a little trouble with that at first, but it's unbelievable the digital screens that they have going everywhere. It's not like they just put up some stats. There's like an artistic curtain that's just digital lights of the team whose stats you're about to see. And there's a circular, like, you know how in Dallas they got the gigantic screen facing you?
Yeah.
This one is higher up, and it's a circle, so everybody sees the same thing. But it's almost like the spaceship hovering over you in Independence Day. It's a massive place. Our vantage point was sick. I don't know how well, because of different lighting and contrast, but the skyline of Atlanta was visible right through the back of the place with the windows there. I took a bunch of clips to show my kids. The Georgia fans hit their lighters on, and then the Auburn fans hit their lighters on after the third quarter. So it was amazing. It was just so loud. And, you know, I hate seeing old stadiums go, but I don't mind seeing half-old domes go. And
yeah,
this thing replaced, you know, the Georgia Dome, and it's a work of art.
I got Bama in over Ohio State as my number four team in the college football playoff. Where do you lean?
I lean that way, too. And it's hard for me. And I was sitting with Brad Nessler last night watching games. And we know it's hard for us because we see so much of Alabama. I'll say this, first of all. I don't think that Alabama or Ohio State are as good as they were last year. They lost a lot of guys to the draft. I don't think Clemson is as good as they were last year because they lost Watson, Gallman, Mike Williams. They lost a ton of guys on that defense as well. So it's made for a lot of like head scratching, you know, eye tests, if you will. And when it comes to the eye test, it depends which Ohio State games you watch. If you watch them play Illinois, if you watch the second half against Indiana, bits and pieces where they have these big plays, because Paris Campbell, I don't know if there's anybody faster in college football, like we saw last night, and J.K. Dobbins, you know, he couldn't finish that 70-something yard run, but Paris Campbell would have been 5 yards ahead of anybody. So the eye test is first. The eye test is the first thing. I did this mock selection, and the committee was very clear. Hey, when it comes to the conference championships, when it comes to, you know, head-to-head would probably be the first thing, although we've seen that go another way. They want to just figure out who would win on a neutral field between these two. Who would be the better team? And so, you know, I have Alabama as my fourth. I realize they lost at the wrong time. They didn't lose the wrong game. I mean, they got the best loss of anybody, and the committee likes to weigh its wins, and I get that. I mean, I can go in 100 directions with you on this right now, too. But, look, Ohio State, Urban Meyer, if you're going to get talking points going, he could simply go up there and say, we have three wins that are better in terms of the ranking of the opponent, three wins that are better than any of Alabama's wins. But then he goes on and he says, we have two wins over top four teams because he's counting what they were ranked when they played them. Well, then Alabama can claim Florida State. And they can claim a Florida State team that had DeAndre Francois. And after he went down and things started to fall apart, Jimbo was already trying to figure out where his next move was going to be. They were already, like the Nick Saban real estate search that happened in Texas a few years ago that was more about like a possible lake house than anything. That was happening for Jimbo a long time ago. So that's a separate thing, obviously. But you said earlier, you can't ignore Ohio State losing to Iowa. I can't unsee that game. They got creamed. And Alabama, they lost more recently. They lost at Auburn, and I think we learned yesterday how different it is to play Auburn at Auburn. And granted, there were some injuries involved for Auburn yesterday. There were some injuries involved for Alabama a couple weeks ago because it's football. But, you know, Clemson lost at Syracuse, our alma mater. Miami lost at Pitt. They would have been in with a win. You know, Ohio State's got two losses. And the committee, they got to decide what they're going to stick to. You want to honor the conference champion further, or do you want to stick with not allowing a two-loss team in? And that's what they did last year, and Ohio State's on the other side of it now. Penn State was in their spot last year, obviously.
Adam Zucker, SEC, CBS, joins us from Atlanta, where Georgia rolled over Auburn. After seeing that performance, you think Georgia can win a national championship?
I do. I don't think that Georgia would win a national championship against the Clemson or Alabama of last year, like I said earlier. And just so you know, my number one team is Oklahoma.
Really?
Oh, yeah. People just think it's like the fun and gun because of the one Bedlam game. Oklahoma plays some serious defense, and when they don't, they have the offense. They have big dudes up front. This Rodney Anderson guy who came on with his four-touchdown game against TCU when they first met, and Baker Mayfield, man, I mean, he's 41 touchdowns and five interceptions. In terms of consistency, you know, I love Oklahoma. I think Georgia could beat them. I think we're going to finally actually have some really good semifinal games because I think it's more of a wash going through. And I don't know, you know, I don't know if USC would contend as well with those teams, but I will say a team that's not going to be in there that would is Penn State. And Penn State lost the wrong games. They were both on the road. They blew a lead against the Buckeyes. They had the crazy delays against Michigan State, and it came down to a dumb penalty followed by a field goal. But that's another team, you know, that I think would fare just as well. Obviously, they won't be in, but they would fare just as well.
Do you think that the committee, if they put Alabama in, wants to avoid a matchup with Georgia in that first round or avoid a matchup with Clemson in that semifinal since they had played in the national championship game? Or do you think that they won't set it up based on that type of matchup?
Well, based on how much they love Clemson and based on where anybody would fall as far as how they would rank them, I would guess that they would set up a Clemson-Alabama Sugar Bowl for a national semifinal. Oklahoma and Georgia would go out to the Rose. I don't think you have to worry about Georgia and Alabama facing each other because I don't think the Dogs are going to go from where they were and jump over Clemson and Oklahoma.
And they can't put Bama at three, you're saying?
No way. Now, if Bama gets in, it's the four spot for me. I mean, I get what you mean, though, because they were ahead of Georgia, and now Georgia's got that win. But for first and foremost, even if it's Bama 3, Georgia 4, you know, they wouldn't play each other. I don't think that would happen. Although, and there's an interesting game that we thought we were going to get in Atlanta for most of the year, which was Kirby Smart against Nick Saban. And looky here.
Yeah, because I wonder, I mean, the one thing I don't think they want the committee is an all-SEC championship game, wouldn't you say?
Well, I would say yeah, because LSU against Alabama is what kind of spawned the whole playoff thing to begin with. Although, as much as people hate to hear it, it was Mike Slive who was asking for the plus one game before anybody. So it was the SEC commissioner, Mike Slive, who wanted to expand it before anybody was for it. And then when his conference ended up with 1-2 because of the late loss by Oklahoma State at Iowa State after a tragic plane crash that really just destroyed everybody's spirit, obviously, ruined lives, you know, that was when the rest of the country said, we don't want to see this game again. You know, at least Georgia-Alabama wouldn't be a repeat of a match we saw this year. But, yeah, man, that's what spawned it. So,
yeah, I mean, that's the interesting thing here. There's no easy way for the committee to do this. I think they put Bama in at number four, and they probably hope either Bama or Georgia loses the semifinals so that they don't get an all-SEC championship game, right?
You know what? I don't know what they hope for. I think once they're done, they want to go to bed. And I don't know how much of it's damage control after that. And you know, I've heard it said, and I haven't had a chance to say it since our game ended and all the other games took place. But you know, if they want to, the easier look, the easier result, I think, for them is to put Ohio State in, because then they don't do two teams from the same conference, and all the arguments go away. I mean, at the same time, you see a lot of people on Twitter going crazy. You get callers who are more passionate than listeners who don't call, right? So there's so many people I talked to at the game yesterday. During the game, people coming over to our spot. We're pretty open access area there. You know, little bike rack to separate us from everyone, but pretty much you can come talk to us, eat some Chick-fil-A with us. And Alabama fans are saying to me, hey, if we lost, he's like, who's a comparative team in the SEC to Iowa? Who's a comparative team? I was like, South Carolina, Mississippi State.
Right.
So these Alabama fans, Auburn fans, Georgia, if we lost a conference game by 31 points, we wouldn't expect to be in the playoff. If we had two losses, we wouldn't expect to be in the playoff. So it's interesting. I think, you know, there's arguments on both sides. Once you think you're out, and then you find out you got a little window, yo, let's make that window really big.
Adam Zucker, all over the SEC on CBS, anchoring yesterday for the SEC championship game for Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta. Follow him on Twitter, at Adam Zucker CBS. He does a wonderful job all season long with that side of things and inside college football as well. And so, Zuck, I got to figure we'll be talking again here soon, man, but thanks so much for all the help over the course of college football season, buddy.
Hey, no doubt. Love being on. Coaching Carousel is going to take some twists and turns, so I'm always happy to jump on with the DA.
Sounds good, man. Thanks so much. Adam Zucker getting up with us here from Atlanta. I like what he said about the loss by Alabama to Auburn. They didn't lose the wrong game. They lost at the wrong time. Losing on the road at Auburn in the Iron Bowl is the best one loss anybody has in this tournament. It's the best one loss out of anybody in the country. It just so happened to be on the final regular season day, which meant they were kept out of the SEC title game, which means that was the last time they played. It was a loss, and that's fresh in everybody's mind. Sign up to be no rewards member today. And when it gets cold out there, your vehicle needs some extra attention. O'Reilly Auto Parts is the parts you need to keep your vehicle in fighting shape for the cold weather ahead. From choosing the right antifreeze for your engine to replacing your windshield wiper blades, O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. I know you guys are chomping at the bit to get in here to discuss Ohio State versus Alabama, who gets that fourth slot in the college football playoffs. So hit me up at 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227 or on Twitter, DA on CBS. When we come back, we're coming in hot. It's great to see Urban Meyer and Nick Saban grovel, isn't it? There's no bigger hypocrite in the world than my nominee at the top of the hour. And one Super Bowl hopeful has a one-game season today. That's all coming up here next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
The path to an NFL championship starts in 32 unique locker rooms across the country.
I ain't blinking. Don't you blink. You blink, I'll cut your eyelids off.
But it ends at just one common ground, Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Hey, they said they were going to the Twin Cities.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Will a living legend stand atop the Super Bowl mountain yet again?
They have completed the greatest comeback in Super Bowl history.
Or will we crown a new icon as the confetti falls?
As the young maestro on his game today.
Only 34 schools will make it to their ultimate destination, the college football playoff.
I mean, it only matters where you end up at the end.
Who will be invited? Who will be left out?
I don't know whether heartbreak actually covers that.
Football's weekly drama is documented here. Sunday Morning Football with your host, D.A., only on CBS Sports Radio.
Touchdown!
And a happy Sunday morning to you, everybody. It's a big hour of the show straight ahead. We've got Todd Furman, Vegas virtuoso from Sin City, our guy in the desert, looking at today's NFL action coming your way in about 15 minutes from now. We'll also hear from Trent Green of the Chiefs' quarterback problems, Moose Johnston on the end of an era in New York with Eli Manning, and Roddy Jones on the college football playoff and the college football college carousel, coaching carousel, twirling and whirling at a rapid rate. That's all coming up this hour on the show, plus your football forecast. I want to hear from you guys as well, as we've been debating all morning Alabama versus Ohio State for that fourth slot in the college football playoff. I think the top three are certain. Georgia's getting in, Clemson's getting in, Oklahoma's getting in. Just depends on how they're ranked, one through three, one would imagine. And then it's at four, Ohio State or Alabama. 855-212-4CBS or on Twitter, DA on CBS. Get at me and watch the show. The simulcast going on right now at watchda.com. We're coming in hot.
2-1, you've got a pair of bogeys, 12 o'clock.
They're doing 500 knots.
Roger, that's your bogey.
Airspeed is still increasing.
Wood, you got them?
Not yet, I can't see them. They must be close.
Attention, air control. Someone tell DA he's coming in hot. This is CBS Sports Radio, over.
Nick Saban is the best head coach in America. I think Dabo Sweeney is number two. I think Urban Meyer's number three. So it's fun to see two of the three have to grovel and politic for this one final slot in the college football playoff. You know, Saban and Urban Meyer are Hall of Famers, multiple national champions. These two guys are two of the greats of all time, but even they are at the mercy of the college football playoff. Please, let us in. Did you notice how many wins over top-ranked teams we have? Did you notice how good our loss was? I mean, please, let us in, committee.
I think this team deserves the opportunity to get in the playoff by what they've been able to accomplish and what they've been able to do. Certainly not maybe in this game, but I think the team we play tonight's a very good football team and probably one of the best teams in the country. They won 11 games. Not very many teams are able to do that. And I really don't know what all the scenarios might be where we would have an opportunity to do it. I'd certainly like to see this team get the opportunity to do it, and I think they deserve it.
I think our strength of schedule, quality wins is phenomenal, and we're conference champions. Two wins over top four teams, another blowout win against a 12 team in America. So we played three top five teams, and we won two of them. I hope we get a shot.
These guys are so used to being the bullies. They bully everybody they want on the football field, in recruiting, in their athletic departments, on their coaching staffs. They get to be the bullies. And then here they are. Well, I don't know if you noticed, but we won this game and we have all these stats. And check out this metric and please let us in. It's great. What would I do? I put Alabama in. Clemson would be my number one. Georgia would be my number two. Oklahoma would be my number three. Bama would be my number four. It would give us Clemson-Bama in the semifinal for the third year in a row, them meeting in the college football playoff. Georgia and then Oklahoma would be your other matchup. And look, if you're asking me who the better football team is, it's Alabama. Now, we can wring our hands over winning a conference championship or not, but it's not mandatory. And Ohio State was the beneficiary of this last year. They were considered a better football team than Penn State, even though they didn't win the conference. And I would say the same exact thing this year. Live by the sword, die by the sword. If it's not about winning a conference championship, Ohio State, like 2016, then Alabama belongs in 2017 because they're a better football team than Ohio State. I mean, losing by 31 at Iowa is impossible. It's a bell that's impossible to unring. Boy, there's no bigger hypocrite than Jimbo Fisher. He takes the Texas A&M job. And remember that time a few weeks ago? It was only a few weeks ago that he got in the spat at the stadium with the FSU fan that was catcalling down to Jimbo saying, you got to fire your coordinators, fire your coaching staff?
No, not frustration. Just, hey, don't just be support. You know what I'm saying? There's no reason to be nasty. I shouldn't have said something. Are you going to be a loyal fan or not? Just keep fighting with us. We ain't quitting on you. Please don't quit on us. We're going to keep fighting, scratching, coaching, playing. And you see the heart and desire of those kids. And understand something. What if that's your kid? If that was one of your kids or your nephew or your cousin or your friend, keep supporting them.
Oh, isn't that interesting? We want you to be a loyal fan. Don't quit on us. We won't quit on you. Hey, somebody remind me who was coaching Florida State yesterday in a regular season game. FSU was still playing its season yesterday, and Jimbo quit. Jimbo wasn't on the sideline. Was he? Where was Jimbo? Oh, he was collecting his new paycheck at Texas A&M. You hypocrite. Look, all these coaches dance with the devil. They're employed by a school, and they negotiate with other schools. It happens all the time. Jimbo is not unique in that way. But don't lecture us about loyalty. Don't lecture the fans about being loyal. They are loyal. You're not. Yeah, they might be critical. They might be negative. They might be cynical. But they're still FSU fans, you bum. You're no longer the coach. So don't lecture us, the fans, on being loyal. We won't quit on you. You just quit on you. You just quit on that team. You left the team in the middle of the season. They had a regular season game left to get bowl eligible. That's what really bothers me. Coaches go after the bigger job all the time. But when you lecture the fans on being loyal, being blindly supportive, don't quit on us. You just quit. You bum. You hypocritical bum. And finally, the Packers had Super Bowl aspirations. And then Aaron Rodgers went down. And they all left them for dead. But today they've got a one-game season. Because it looks like Aaron Rodgers will come back for Week 15. That would be three regular season games Rodgers would be back for. They've got two before then. Next week is Cleveland. The Browns are going to go 0-16, so you better be able to beat the Browns no matter who your quarterback is. Which means today, against the Buccaneers, is the only game Brett Hundley has to win. Because if the Packers can win today, they should be able to beat the Browns next week, and then they get Aaron Rodgers back.
Aaron Rodgers, the plan, he's got a workout today. They'll obviously evaluate, but we're looking tomorrow to potentially practice him in a trial return only. But that's the outlook. We'll determine that tomorrow after his work today.
I would have never thought Brett Hundley would be able to beat the Buccaneers after what happened a couple of weeks ago, getting shut out at Lambeau. But last week, look, they almost beat Pittsburgh on Sunday night. It took Pittsburgh until the final moments to kick that game-winning field goal. Brett Hundley, you've got one game you need to win. It's got to be today. Keep the flickering hopes alive. Win today. Beat the Buccaneers, a bad football team going sideways. Then beat the Browns next week, and you can hand the car keys back over to Aaron Rodgers. And then we get to see if Rodgers can run the table the final 3 weeks of the season and sneak the Packers into the playoffs and end up being one of the most dangerous teams nobody wants to face in the postseason. Brian's in Youngstown, Ohio. He's on 1240 listening to CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Brian?
What's up, Jay? How are you?
I'm good, buddy. How you doing?
Good. Heading to work this morning, but I heard you talking about Ohio State and Alabama. I mean, everybody is. And I'm a diehard Ohio State fan, and God, I don't want to see Alabama in that playoff again. But the reality is I don't think Ohio State's ready to get there. They're very bipolar this year. And to have to go and face Clemson again, who definitely looks just as good, I just think that you're setting us up for another loss and another bad loss.
I would tend to agree. I think if you had Ohio State against Clemson in that first round, Ohio State's going to get pounded. I would tend to agree. This is what's interesting about this year. This is really only an argument because both the Big Ten and the Pac-12 were down. If one of the two conferences had a one-loss champion, it's not an argument. Alabama's out. But the problem is you can't swap in the Pac-12 winner because USC had two losses. And again, we're also very up and down. And it's hard to make the argument for Ohio State because Ohio State has that loss against Iowa and was pretty bipolar, as you just mentioned. Alabama's very lucky this season. There were three legit conference champions, and they were debating the final two, and the Pac-12 not even part of the equation. Very fortunate. But even if you're fatigued of Alabama, they're just the beneficiaries of a down year. They're still one of the top four best teams in America. Rob's in Boise, Idaho, listening to 93.1 and CBS Sports Radio there. Good morning, Rob.
Hey, good morning, DA. Always a pleasure to talk to you.
You too, man.
Love the show. You know, you kind of touched on it just a little bit, what I was going to talk about. You know, I've always felt a conference champion should get in there over someone who didn't play for the conference. However, in this case, Ohio State has two losses. And you touched on USC. So let's compare apples to apples here. USC also had two losses. They're also a conference champion. Their strength of schedule was 10. Ohio State's was 36. They did have a bad loss, but it was at Notre Dame to a ranked number 8 ranked Notre Dame team. So I think SC, if you're going to compare Ohio State and USC, I think USC has an argument to go ahead of Ohio State. But the reality is Alabama had one loss, and of all the teams that lost, that loss really was, you want to say a better loss, losing to a pretty good Auburn team. I don't think that hurts Alabama. I'm not an Alabama fan. In fact, I'm tired of Alabama, but you got to give them credit. They're still a very, very good program, and they should get in there. But I don't think Ohio State should. I think USC should get in over Ohio State if that's the case.
That's a fair comparison. That's a fair argument. I know a lot of people have Bama fatigue. I totally get it. Fresh faces, new personalities, different coaches, different brands, different schools, different fan bases. I totally understand Bama fatigue. But this year, because the Pac-12 and the Big Ten don't have star champions, you can't argue that Alabama is not one of the four best teams in America. And Adam Zucker put it perfectly last hour with us. He said, Alabama, that wasn't a bad loss. They just lost at a bad time. They lost the final regular season game, so it's the last thing that we hear, that we know, that we watched. And it meant that they didn't get into the college football. They didn't make it into the SEC title game. But losing on the road against your rival by, I think it was 10 points, in a place that Auburn was a machine this year. Not a bad loss at all. Just a bad time. When we come back, Todd Furman, Vegas Virtuoso, is going to join us. Let's look at today's NFL line from the guys in the desert. They usually know what they're talking about. We'll get back to your phone calls as well at 855-212-4CBS or on Twitter, DA on CBS. This is Sunday Morning Football.
Winners, whiners, and wise guys. It's Sunday Morning Football on CBS Sports Radio.
You win.
Each week, we catch a red eye to Vegas and see where the sharps are putting down their scratch.
Place your bets.
It's Todd Furman.
We are debating Ohio State versus Alabama as Oklahoma, Clemson, and Georgia are into the college football playoff, we presume. Rankings are going to come out. The final four are going to come out. The playoff field in about 2 hours from now. Glad you're with us on Sunday Morning Football. DA with you. We'll continue taking your phone calls on Bama versus Ohio State at 855-212-4CBS on Twitter, DA on CBS. And thanks for watching us on the simulcast every Sunday morning at watchda.com. Our friend Todd Furman, Vegas Virtuoso, back with us this week. Todd, good morning.
Good morning, DA. How are things?
Good, man. What do you think, Ohio State or Alabama? Who for you?
I think Alabama is going to ultimately get in over Ohio State. I mean, the common denominator I come down to is what the point spread would be if those two teams were to play on a neutral field, and I'd make Alabama right now a 4 to 4.5 point favorite in that matchup. You look at the resumes, though, I have to make the slight case that Ohio State slightly more deserving with some of their marquee wins, but ultimately that loss in Iowa City against the Hawkeyes, I think, is what keeps them on the outside looking in, and we're talking about Alabama being the fourth team to get into the college football playoff mix.
If it is Clemson, Georgia, Oklahoma, and Bama, what's Vegas's odds? Who would be the favorite to win the national championship?
It really becomes so tightly compacted there with those four teams. Alabama would be slight favorites, but you're not talking about a price less than 3 to 1 for any of those teams. And just kind of putting things in perspective, if Alabama were to play Clemson, you'd be looking at Alabama a 2-point favorite despite the supposed 1 versus 4 matchup. Oklahoma versus Georgia, most likely a pick'em. And then if it was Ohio State sneaking in, you'd be looking at Clemson right around a field goal favorite over the Buckeyes, maybe at 2.5.
So Alabama would be the favorite in Vegas to win the championship.
They would, and they would be favored over the other three teams in the college football playoff mix. It just goes to show that sometimes the committee sees things a little bit different than the gambling community does.
Todd Furman joins us from Vegas, looking at today's NFL action. Let's start with the debacle that is the New York Giants, starting Geno Smith. This could be Ben McAdoo's final coach, getting reports today from Ian Rappaport, NFL Network, that he could be fired as quickly as tomorrow. When you have Geno Smith on the road with a coach that's looking over his shoulder, what do you think about a line there between the Giants and Raiders?
This is such a tough game to try and handicap. When you're trying to figure out exactly what the Giants are going to bring to the table under Geno Smith, we know he probably gives them more mobility, hard to give you less at the quarterback position than Eli Manning. You look at the Janoris Jenkins situation, him being put on IR, the defense that has failed to meet such high preseason expectations against an offense in Oakland that's going to have to try and figure out an identity without Michael Crabtree suspended, Amari Cooper in concussion protocol. You know, where do the Raiders go for points consistently? And when you're laying over a touchdown in the NFL, you need to be able to pick up those chunk yards and put together those big plays. I'm not sure Oakland can do that. At the same time, I'm not running to make a case for the Giants. But if you're forcing me to pick a side here, would lean towards the Giants catching 8.5 for their trip to the Bay Area.
I love Vikings and Falcons today. This game should be fantastic. Falcons are a favorite by about a field goal at home over the Vikings. Minnesota brings in a wonderful defense. What do you think about the Falcons being favored in this game?
It should be a great game to try and figure out where these two teams stand in the NFC pecking order. Atlanta still has plenty of work cut out for them to get through that highly competitive NFC South, where Minnesota would love nothing more than to get a win today. Hope that Philadelphia struggled over the next two games and maybe sneak into that number one seed discussion. When you look at Minnesota, we know the strength of this football team is a defense, as you alluded to. 33 games since they played the Atlanta Falcons last. During that span, they've allowed two receivers in total to gain 100 yards through the air. Xavier Rhodes will probably shadow Julio Jones. The Falcons' offense has started to come around amid early season struggles, scoring 27 or more points in their last three games. But you look at what Minnesota has done, DA, from a point spread perspective, and they've been one of the best in the league. Over the last 44 games, 31-13 against the number. Last 19 games played in a dome, 15-4 against the spread. And oh, by the way, when they play on that synthetic surface, they are 22-6. It goes to show that their defense performs at its highest level when they can get speed off the edge.
Ravens, Lions. This is interesting. Ravens are favored by a field goal at home. Lions and Ravens both have a 6-5 record. Is Vegas starting to buy on Baltimore as one of these teams that could play well down the stretch, make their way into the wild card slot of the AFC because of how great the Ravens' defense is?
Still some skepticism about what Baltimore's ceiling is, but I can tell you one thing, that the Lions have been on the go-against list for a lot of professional bettors for weeks, and not a much different scenario here, although you do see a battle going on in the market as the number. Every time it gets to 3, there's a little bit of resistance. From the recreational bettor standpoint, they see Matthew Stafford in what is perceived as a high-powered Detroit Lions offense that they want to gravitate towards here in this spot, with about 65% of the action coming in on the road underdogs. But you look at some of the injuries that the Lions are dealing with in the defensive backfield on the offensive line, not exactly a recipe for success against a team that's going to try and pin its ears back and get after the quarterback, knowing there is no fear of a ground game with Ameer Abdullah and Theo Riddick, not exactly providing big play potential coming out of the backfield.
Sunday night football tonight, a really good one. Eagles in Seattle to take on the Seahawks. Can Philadelphia continue its good time? They got the best record of the NFL at 10-1. And amazingly, Philly is favored by 4 points. It's a weird thing when it's prime time and in Seattle and the road team is favored by 4 points. Is that more about just Seattle's banged up secondary, or is that more about how well the Eagles have played this season?
It's definitely a combination of factors. When you talk about how well Philadelphia has played this season, they've covered every single game they've played since September 24th, a 27-24 win against the Giants. That's not supposed to happen in the National Football League, where we talk about an efficient market and books forcing you to pay a bit of a premium when you want to back the good teams against lower echelon squads. But Philadelphia, the beneficiary of taking on teams that they've been able to feast on, when you look at the fact they have one win this season over a team with a winning record. This number, though, has been fascinating to watch. We saw most books open Philadelphia a 3-point favorite. Number got as high as 6, and that's where professionals said, whoa, 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 pump the brakes a little bit. This is way too inflated a price tag. You mentioned Seattle. This is the largest underdog tag that Russell Wilson has seen since he's been the starting quarterback in Seattle. Obviously some concerns, not only in that secondary, but what this offensive line will be able to do to slow down Philadelphia. But this is a true pros versus Joes game. The pros backing Seattle as a home underdog at +6, and the Joes looking to lay any price they can with a team that's been very, very good to them over the last 2 months.
Todd Furman joining us. He's host of the Bet the Board podcast. What do you got cooking on the Bet the Board pod?
Broke down a lot of the big games we talked about here, tried to deep dive a few others that'll have impact not only on the playoff picture, but also some of our bettors' wallets, and identified a best bet in one of the late kickoff games, although some late-breaking injury news may change the dynamics a little bit, but we think one team headed out on the road a little bit overvalued as far as the market is concerned.
Check it out, Bet the Board podcast, Todd Furman. Follow him on Twitter, at Todd Furman. Thanks as always, bud.
Always a pleasure, DA. Enjoy the games today.
You too, man. 855-212-4CBS, Twitter, DA on CBS. We're discussing who should be in the college football Final Four when it comes out in about 2 hours. Rob's in Tulsa listening to CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Rob?
Oh, not a whole lot. I am a big OU fan, and my fervent hope and prayer is that they end up with the number one seed. I think they made an argument for it with their big win over TCU, but you know, Clemson didn't do anything to take the shine off them, and the committee's leaned towards them as number one for a while now, and I think that'll probably be the case. But OU is number one. They've already spanked Ohio State at home. I think it'd be worse on a neutral field, and I believe OU has Alabama's number when it gets right down to it. But the game with Georgia should be a barn burner.
If they end up matching up, you're right, it should be, because its styles make it a fight there. Georgia doesn't want to go into any game and try to score 38 points. That's not how they're built. And Oklahoma can put up 30 with anybody. So a great Georgia defense that smothers, gets after the quarterback, great against the run, creates turnovers against Baker Mayfield, that offense, it's a hell of a matchup. That should be a lot of fun to watch that matchup. I don't know about Oklahoma's balance. I know their offense is great. I know their quarterback is great. I love their play calling. But the Big 12 this year was so uninspiring. It just is very hard for me to gauge where Oklahoma is from a national perspective. Beating up on TCU was the most predictable game we had yesterday. Knew it was going to happen. They can't stay with the Sooners. Now, going to the horseshoe and doing what Oklahoma did early in the season, wildly impressive. Wildly impressive. So I don't know, though, going up against a more balanced team in the college football playoff, like those teams you mentioned, where Oklahoma would rank and how they would play, because I just don't think their competition's been very good this year outside of that Ohio State game. But do they belong in the playoff? No question about it. They'll get their chance to prove themselves, and that offense is a sight to behold. We'll come back and continue taking your phone calls on Bama versus Ohio State. Who should get in the final slot of the college football playoff? Also, we'll hear from Trent Green of the Chiefs' quarterback issues. Moose Johnston on the end of an era in New York with Eli Manning. That's all coming up next on Sunday Morning Football, CBS Sports Radio.
You're locked in to Sunday Morning Football on CBS Sports Radio with your host, D.A. We ask those who are in the game for their thoughts on the game.
Congratulations, man. That's all.
It's time for The Insiders.
We come to you live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. Hey, thanks for being with us, everybody, on Sunday Morning Football. We have been debating all morning Alabama versus Ohio State. Who should get in to the college football playoff? Give me Alabama. I just simply think they're a better football team than Ohio State. And I can't unsee getting drilled by 31 points against a mediocre Iowa team. I just, unfortunately for Ohio State, Big Ten's down. Pac-12 was down, and because of it, Alabama is going to, in my estimation, slide into that number four slot. About an hour and 45 minutes away from the playoff committee deciding, but I think Alabama is going to get number four, and I think that's the right decision. Trust the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts to help you choose the brakes that are an exact fit for your vehicle. Brands that you trust like Brake Best and Wagner ThermoQuiet. O'Reilly Auto Parts are the brake parts you need at guaranteed low prices. O'Reilly, better parts, better prices every day. So we'll get back to your phone calls on this and your tweets regarding it. But first up, let's hear from Trent Green, NFL on CBS. I asked Trent, what is the problem with his former team, the Chiefs, and their quarterbacking by Alex Smith?
You know, you start off 5-0, and Kareem Hunt's playing the way he is, and Alex is throwing the ball downfield, and I'm not going to shy away from the fact. After 5 weeks, I think he was the front runner for the MVP. It would be hard pressed to, you know, even though Tom was playing the way he was, you know, the fact that that Kansas City went in there and beat New England in the opener, and you know, Alex hadn't thrown an interception in five games. It was his, and now all of a sudden, you know, no running game. The pass protection's gotten worse. The down the field throws have gone away. Now it's more to the dink and dunk. So. They've got to get that fixed. They've got to get back on track. I think some of it is just confidence and attitude, and you know, defensively they need to create some turnovers. They haven't been doing a lot of that lately. Getting them field position, that was really the formula they had a year ago. So there's a number of different areas they need to address.
The Insiders.
Chiefs are in New York to take on the Jets. That's a 1 p.m. Eastern kick on CBS. The Chiefs are actually favored. I would have benched Alex Smith. I would have. They have lost five of their last six games. He has looked awful. He has looked awful. I would have benched him, gone to Patrick Mahomes, because the fact is you can get into the playoffs with Alex Smith, but you ain't winning anything with Alex Smith right now. He is a shell of himself from earlier in the season, and yes, I realize they've got other issues besides just Alex Smith, but he is tentative. He is cautious. He is inaccurate. He is not creating big plays. He's not going downfield. He is awful. I would bench him. Moose Johnston, NFL on Fox, three-time Super Bowl winner with the Dallas Cowboys. He saw a bunch of older players with those 90s Cowboys teams have to step away due to injury. Troy Aikman, Michael Irvin, Emmitt Smith ended up going to Phoenix to be with the Cardinals his final two seasons. I asked Moose Johnston about the end of Eli Manning. He's called so many Giants games over his career for Fox. Did the Giants mess this up?
I have even more respect for Eli Manning gracefully saying thank you for the opportunity to continue the streak, but if I'm not going to, you know, if I'm going to start the game, I want to finish the game, or at least to a point where now it makes sense with a Davis Webber, Geno Smith to come in. So you can't say enough for how he's handled this. It's the ugly side of the sport. There's a few guys that get to ride off into the sunset. John Elway, Jerome Bettis, Michael Strahan. You know, we've gotten to see a few of them do that where they win Super Bowls and do that. But normally it ends kind of what we're seeing today with Eli Manning.
The Insiders.
The Giants butchered this. Butchered it. I don't mind seeing Davis Webb, the rookie, the final month of the season. I mind seeing Geno Smith, which you don't need to assess. You know exactly who Geno Smith is. And let's say Geno Smith has an amazing final 5 weeks. Are you not going to draft a quarterback in the top five because Geno Smith looks good? Are you really going to make Geno Smith your franchise quarterback next year? Of course you're not. Of course you're not. So it makes no sense. And now the reports at a Rappaport for NFL Network, the Giants could fire McAdoo tomorrow. Oh, good. So you let him handle the benching of Eli Manning, and then you're going to fire him right after that. Oh, that sounds really smart. And finally, Roddy Jones, college football analyst for ESPN. He joined me on Friday morning as the Philip Fulmer maybe sabotaging the Tennessee coaching search and saying no to Mike Leach and Curry getting fired. The whole firestorm was exploding. And I asked Roddy Jones, how much is backstabbing and politicking a part of college coaching?
I would say that the backstabbing part of it, that's more rare. But the politicking, man, that's throughout. I mean, everyone's kind of jockeying for that position. And he has meant so much to that school that, I mean, he probably feels like he deserves a shot to run it. I mean, the last time Tennessee was relevant on a national stage, Philip Fulmer was in charge of a football program. So in his mind, he may feel like, hey, I'm the only guy that can turn this thing around. Now, I don't think that Philip Fulmer necessarily has to go to those links to get that look. You know, and he's got enough respect and he's involved with the program that I think that, you know, he's got enough connections where he doesn't have to sabotage the current guy to do it. But if you're looking for an opportunity to get in, I mean, it's a pretty good one when the coaching hires start to go bad and the school starts to look at it, look like an embarrassment. They're looking for a white knight.
The Insiders.
I think it's a shame they didn't hire Mike Leach. I would have loved to have seen Mike Leach in the SEC. You have all of these programs that are playing offense really the same way. A lot of ground and pound, a lot of run-based offenses, very physical offensive lines, physical ground game, pro-style offenses. I mean, that's really what the SEC has been for such a long time. And what would it look like to have Mike Leach's air raid? What would it look like to have a Big 12 offense in the SEC? I mean, it would be amazing to watch, right? It'd be amazing to watch what that would look like. And Mike Leach, with the character and the personality that he's got in Knoxville, I would love, love to have seen it. But look, Philip Fulmer, who knows how much of this is backstabbing and sabotage? But we know this, that the Tennessee coaching search, now AD situation, there has been no bigger embarrassment this college football season than what has happened to Tennessee. And I hope they get it right because that fan base deserves them to get it right. But this has just been such a weird, woolly, black eye for that program and athletic department. Stevens in South Carolina, listening on CBS Sports Radio's there. What's going on, Steven?
Hey, not much. Good morning, D.A.
Good
Love
morning.
Your show as always.
Well, thank you, sir. What's going on?
Well, not much. I want to go ahead and give a little debate about your fourth spot. Before I do, here's my top three. Clemson 1, Oklahoma 2, and Georgia 3. Now, number 4, y'all been debating about Ohio State and Alabama. Let me throw a monkey wrench into the plan here.
All right. I like monkey wrenches.
Wisconsin, they played the Big Ten championship game. They struggled, but they got close. And, of course, unfortunately, they lost by 6, and they wouldn't have lost had it not been for that interception on 4th and 20 last night. So, you know, Coach Saban said, well, you got to win or play in the conference championship to be in the, to be in the playoffs. And then he backpedals, recently he backpedals crying and whining, saying, well, I deserve it. And I think the reason for that is, like, first of all, you give Ohio State a taste of their own medicine, how they screwed Penn State over.
Let me just jump in there, Steven. Steven's argument about Wisconsin sounds crazy. You're like, why would you ever put in Wisconsin? They're not even part of this discussion. But the argument actually can be made that Wisconsin has the best one loss, or one of the best one losses, because they lost to Ohio State. And it wasn't a blowout. It was a one-possession game.
The problem is the rest of Wisconsin's schedule was so light. They didn't play a ranked foe until November that it's just impossible to take them seriously as a top four team of the country. They only have two ranked wins, and that was over number 20 Iowa and number 24 Michigan. And Iowa is only ranked in the top 20 because of how they destroyed Ohio State by 31 points the week before. Let's get to your football forecast.
CBS Weather Watch, our forecast with your personal touch.
It's DA's football forecast.
In Buffalo, temperatures in the 40s. It's sunny as the Patriots are in town. But an 80% chance the highlight of the Bills' day comes from the parking lot. Bills Mafia, always entertaining. You know there's going to be some video that goes viral of somebody chugging beers and yelling dilly dilly and smashing into some type of parked car or piece of furniture. But you know the Bills are not up for the challenge of beating the Patriots. Just another year where the Patriots race through their division. In Seattle tonight, low 40s, cloudy, and a 60% chance that this is an NFC changing over the guard game. Eagles are in town. They're actually favored. Rare to see the Seahawks as an underdog at home in prime time. It almost never happens. The Eagles could be really good for a really long time because Carson Wentz is really, really good. And the Seahawks, I wonder if the window continues to kind of close on them. And in Oakland, it's sunny, mid-50s today with a 90% chance this is the end of the most hated head coach in Giants franchise history. Before Ben McAdoo, you might have to go back to Ray Hanley in the early 90s. Before that, got to go back to the 70s. I mean, it's been a long time since there's been a head coach this hated, but that's where Ben McAdoo resides right now, and this could be the end of the run for him. Quickly, Greg is in Ohio here on Sunday Morning Football. What's up, Greg?
How you doing, DA?
Good,
so,
man.
When we switched from the BCS formula to the playoff committee, the main argument was they're going to be able to put the best four teams in. And yesterday on College Game Day, they had hypothetical lines on neutral fields, and Alabama was a favorite against every single team, Ohio State, Clemson, Georgia. So how do you keep them out? If the committee's doing their job, then money talks.
Greg, it's a great point, and that's what Todd Furman actually just told us. Our Vegas virtuoso from Vegas last segment said Alabama, if they get in, would be the favorite in both of their games and would be the favorite in Vegas to win the national championship. They're one of the four best teams in the country. Hey, thanks to James Ward, executive producer of Sunday Morning Football. Thanks to Rob Duffy, my man Duff for the Wheels of Steel, and Chris Venezia on the simulcast doing a great job this morning. I'll see you tomorrow morning on my show, everybody, as we break down today's college football decision.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.